today I chose for us to do a little bit more with music in our worship service than usual. We are going to sing two Fanny Crosby hymns during this little sermon meditation. And we also sang her Blessed Assurance, and our closing song is also a song. These are all Fanny Crosby hymns that we're going to be working on today. I'd like to read you some scripture, and perhaps this is some of my favorite scripture about music and singing together. This is one of my favorite scriptures that, for me, defines who we are as church, not only as individual Christians growing in faith, but who we are together. This is from Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So Fanny Crosby was born Frances Jane Crosby on March 24th in 1820. She was born in Putnam County, New York, and at a couple of weeks of age, she developed an eye infection, and the doctors put poultices on her eyes. And later on, they realized that she was blind, and truly, they were never able to determine if she was blind at birth or blind after the infection. But her dad's name was John and her mother's name was Mercy, and they came from Puritan families, and she totally claimed that Puritan part of her heritage. She claimed her ancestry through Anne Brigham and Simon Crosby, who arrived on the Mayflower in Boston. Simon was one of the founders of Harvard College, and so she also considered herself one of the, it's kind of an exclusive group, I guess, back then, Daughters of the Mayflower. Do we have any Daughters of the Mayflower here? Anyone know that? Yeah, you are? Awesome. Very cool. She was also a relative of the Presbyterian minister Howard Crosby, as well as singers Bing Crosby and Bob came along after her. She enrolled in the School for the Blind in New York City when she was 12 years old, and she stayed there for about 10 years, and she finished her schooling there, and then she stayed on as a teacher. It was there that she became very well known for her poetry. She was quite a poet, and she wrote just, you know, poem after poem, and she was the student that was always invited to read her and recite her poetry when the dignitaries came through. In 1850, she attended so she's 30 years old, okay? When she was 30 years old, she attended a revival in the New York's 30th Street United Methodist Church. And during that revival, she felt that something was missing in her life. It's kind of interesting, at 30, for the first time, she's feeling something was missing and wasn't there, especially navigating the life as a blind person, right? And here she's understanding that everything wasn't as she thought, and she felt like there was some wholeness missing. So she went to meetings at that church, and she prayed about this for quite a while, but she didn't have the assurance that she wanted from the presence of Christ in her life. But on November 20th of that same year, so several months later, an altar call was given, and Fanny went forward, and she found Christ as her Savior. The congregation at the time was singing this song. This is an Isaac Watts song. And listen to the words that they were singing, which brought her to the altar. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all day. So those words for a blind person brought her to find Jesus Christ as her Savior. She had quite a large ministry. She was quite an activist, and she lived in the Manhattan slums and worked in the rescue missions. So we're going to sing together, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. Fanny, so here she was, a woman who lived in the Manhattan slums and dealt with the rescue missions on a daily basis. Well, she became fast and famous friends with Phoebe Knapp. Phoebe Knapp lived in a palatial mansion, the Knapp family mansion in Brooklyn. And Phoebe had probably one of the finest collections of music ever. And so Fanny became a house guest there frequently, and their friendship grew and developed, and Phoebe loved to play piano. And so one day Phoebe sat down at the piano to play a tune that she had just come up with and asked Fanny to listen to it. And as soon as Fanny finished listening to the music, she clapped her hands and said, "Oh, that sounds like blessed assurance." And that's where the tune from that song came from, just an instantaneous recognition there. Fanny married a very talented musician. His name was Alexander Van Alstyne. He was also blind. They met at the New York School for the Blind while they were teaching, and they became engaged and got married in March 5th, 1858. Fanny, at Van's suggestion, maintained her maiden name for all of her publications. So that was kind of a interesting thing for those times and days when she kept her own name then. Her husband played the organ at two very famous New York City churches, so that's what he did for work. They did have one daughter. Her name was Frances. She died as an infant, and they attributed that death to SIDS. But it was that experience that was just devastating for both Fanny and Van. Van became quite a recluse after that experience, and that experience inspired Fanny to write Safe in the Arms of Jesus. She never spoke publicly about becoming a mother, but at the end of her life, she mentioned it in a couple of her interviews, and she said, "Now I'm going to tell you something that I only shared with my closest friends. I became a mother, and I know a mother's love. God gave us a tender babe, but the angels came down and took our infant up to God and to his throne." So that was an important part of her faith journey. So Fanny, in all total, wrote over 8,000 hymns. 8,000. Imagine that. And the last one that we're going to sing was one that was written by William Doane. He also wrote the music to the last hymn we sang. He was a Cincinnati businessman, and she, whenever he would give her a melody, she would just sit right down and write the words to it. At the age of 30, which he was such an active businessman, and he was under a lot of stress with his work, and at the age of 30 he was the president of a company, and he had a heart attack, And at that time, he had one of those, you know, crisis moments in his faith and said, I'm going to need to spend more of my life writing gospel music. And so he visited with Fanny often at the rescue mission where she was serving. And one night, he was asked to write an anniversary song for one of those rescue missions. And he got back to his hotel room, got down on his knees, and asked God, please help me come up with writing something for this mission anniversary. I just don't know where to start. And a knock came at his door. A messenger delivered a note to him from Fanny Crosby that said, Mr. Doan, I've never met you before, but I feel impelled to send you this hymn. May God bless it. And that was the beginning of their long-time relationship with it. And those were the words that Doan wound up using for that anniversary song. It began like this. More like Jesus I would be, let my Savior dwell with me. And pass me not, O gentle Savior, is responsible for many, many conversions in the church. It has been a song that many people would make their own commitment to the Lord with. Before we sing that, I'm going to share just a little bit with you about To God Be the Glory. That'll be our closing hymn today. This hymn was first published in 1857, but it did not become popular for 80 years. It was kind of like it got stuffed into a publication and lost there. 80 years later, this was 1954, Billy Graham was planning a crusade outside of London, and he was to be at the Herringway Arena outside of London, and he was under a lot of criticism from the Anglican bishop at the time. He was under lots of criticism from the British press at the time, and he, you know, had friends in Great Britain that were in high places there, and even those friends were giving him a hard time about this crusade. Well, as it turned out, he chose this song to use at the crusade, To God Be the Glory, and that crusade went on for 3 months, and it was responsible for sparking the revival across the entire of Great Britain. It was sung every single night during that crusade, and it really probably has gained popularity as being one of the most beloved hymns of our time. So we'll first sing Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, and we'll close our worship today with To God Be the Glory. Now go forth rejoicing and singing, and let everyone you know about Jesus Christ and the great things he has done, his living presence in our presence. May the blessing of God, the Father Almighty, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and always. Amen.